Afternoon, everybody. It's 6 minutes after five, and this is a continuation of Senate Finance. Can you hear me okay with this microphone? Good. Okay, present with us tonight are Senator Hoffman and Senator Stedman. Other senators are due shortly as we wind down the day in committee meetings. Should tell the committee Senator Dyson and Senator Green have to leave at 6 tonight to tape a television show. Other folks will accommodate their schedules as we can. Tonight we're going to go from 5 to 7:30 for public testimony on the operating budget. And I left my book in my office. I'll go get it. But it's House Bill 66 and 67. And Senator Stedman, for the folks out there that haven't got the CS, what is the version? I don't have my book with me.
Oh, the operating bill?
Operating budget.
CS 87 Finance version L.
Version L, all right. So those folks out there, we're looking at version Lima for the operating budget. Let's see. So tonight we'll go to Glen Allen, Seward, and Homer. To have those folks between 5 and 5:30, and then at 5:30 we'll swing to Kenai. Thank you, Rose. We'll swing to Kenai, Kodiak, and Dillingham. And at 6 o'clock, 6 to 6:30, we'll go to Anchorage. And then 6:30 to 7:30, we'll pick up Matt, Sue, and Fairbanks. Should let you know that these times are not locked in at all. Anyone that shows up at an LIO anytime is more than welcome to testify. And we'll be supplied the names and the location as they come in. So please don't feel constrained to these times. If someone shows up in Juneau, we'll certainly take them in the hearing room here. So with that, we do see some folks out there. We'll get to the folks in Homer and Gakona in just a moment. And welcome Senator Olson to the table.
Sure.
Thanks for being here. With that, anything else come before the committee before we begin our public testimony on the operating budget? Seeing none, then let's go first to Dr. Doug Stark. Doug has joined us from Homer here to give testimony. Good evening, Doug. Thanks for being with us. Your testimony on the operating budget, please.
Thank you, Senator. You're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, and I hope to see you when my bride and I are down in Juneau next week.
Yes, sir.
I know the PERS money that was proposed is not in the operating budget, but I know that you wonderful people can work magic. We've been following this process for 35 years, and we lived in Juneau from 68 to 71. The money is really very much needed by the city of Homer. We have a couple of things. One of them is the corrosion proofing on the deep water dock. And we've known for a couple of years that the corrosion is eating away because when the dock was built, it was defective, the corrosion proofing. And, it cost about $400,000 to do the corrosion proofing, and we're not asking for that. We're just asking for the PERS money, which I believe was $260,000 or so. But that would allow us to go ahead and do it. And if the dock falls over, that's about $12 million that we can look down into the ocean and see it. Another project is fire truck. We really need a ladder truck, and we have one of our best fire trucks is 20 years old, and it costs about $500,000 not to buy a new one, but to refurbish the old ones. And those are just a couple of things. That basically we're waiting for some money from heaven or Juno, however you want to describe it, and we would appreciate anything you could do, and we'd be glad to answer any questions. And by the way, I am on the city council, in case that wasn't apparent on the seat I shined in.
Thank you, Doug. Any questions of Dr. Stark? Probably, Senator Stedman, maybe just a minute on PERS and TERS and where that is and the linkage.
Well, currently, the Senate has moved out the PERS and TERS bill. It's heading over to the House, and the House has got a couple of their bills. It appears that the Senate version will be the the bill moving through the House, and when that becomes finalized and signed by the governor, then there'll be some relief. I think the intent here is to go ahead and help the communities over the next couple of years dealing with their PERS and TERS increase costs, and that'll give us some time to work on a solution, not only the portion that the current bills cover, but the restructuring of the debt. And if I could just add one other quick thing on his comments about the DOC. I think there's a lot of, I assume this is a sheet metal piling or a metal galvanized dock?
It's a steel piling, sir.
Okay. I think there's quite a bit of deferred maintenance, I know, around the coastal communities with sheet metal piling and steel docks, and it's just good practice to keep them zinced.
Thanks, yes. And Doug, with your city council hat on, it probably wouldn't hurt at all if you rang in as a body and encouraged the legislature to pass some sort of retirement reform. Probably you don't have to zero in particularly on Senate Bill 141, although being one that voted for it, we would appreciate that. But certainly just the encouragement to do our due diligence and make the tough decisions that will be required to do that by the end of the session, I think would be appreciated by those folks that think that we need to have something done.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator Wilkin, and I was going to add that. The first thing I was going to talk about, since you're the Finance Committee, was the money. But the other half of the equation is the correcting the problem, and we're very much in favor of the, I think it's called Tier 4, changing from a defined benefit to a defined contribution. I think that's, given the fiscal situation of the state, that's what has to happen, and that's what's happening all over the United States. So we're very much in favor of that, and I appreciate your comments, and I will see that the council does enact a recommendation to the legislature at its next meeting, which will be on the 26th, and also, as I said earlier, number of us will be down in June of next week, and we hope to see you there. I know the Municipal League is a very great supporter of the defined contribution solution to the PERS and TERS, and of course also to the money for the next 2 years, as well as revenue sharing. But I didn't even want to get into that. I would be very happy with the PERS money.
Thank you. Doug, any other questions for Dr. Stark? Thanks for being with us tonight, coming out and helping out. See you next week.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to Gakona, and Alan LeMaster has joined us in Gakona. Good afternoon, Alan. Thanks for being out tonight, and your testimony on the operating budget, please.
Thank you, Senator. I'm actually calling in from Glen Allen tonight. However, I do live in Gakona, and I'd like to speak just briefly to this issue regarding the marketing budget for the ATIA and where it sits today compared to what we would like to have. I was on that board of directors for a few years, some years back, and at the time we did the Millennium Plan, and at the time it seemed like a good idea, and I think it has worked pretty well over the years, far better than most or at least some of the senators thought it would. We see now that the governor has done something very favorable for us, and that is that he has proposed with the 50-50 split as opposed to the 40-60 split that we used to have, that the state give us $5 million. A couple of reasons for that is, of course, we can do more things with $5 million than we could with four, and we know within our industry that we can match $5 million on a 50-50 split without any problem at all. As the owner of a business in the tourism industry operating in rural Alaska here in the Copper Valley for over 20 years, we have never been able to adequately fund marketing program by ourselves as a small business that sufficiently impacts the Alaska visitors as they begin their plans to visit our state. Therefore, for years, I found it necessary and effective to join with our industry's efforts through the great cooperative marketing programs available through the ATIA with the help of the state and that association. This year, After many years of cuts to the state's tourism marketing budget, as you know, we have gone from what used to be up in the $15 million range, and now we're talking more than $5 million. The governor and the state house have recognized the importance of tourism marketing to Alaska's economic development and agreed to match what our industry generates up to $5 million bucks. Well, this is a major milestone in getting the word out to the traveling public and around the world, and if you don't tell them, believe me, they won't come. Today I'm requesting that the states, that the Senate step forward and approve a full funding for the state tourism marketing budget as was recommended by Governor Rakowski's office. Our industry is committed to match $5 million bucks, giving us a total of $10 million for marketing Alaska to the lower 48 and countries around the world. History has shown that an investment like this will result in more visitors coming to Alaska. More visitors means more dollar for all the industry businesses, especially those in rural Alaska with limited funds, because these funds will be used to help generate good business out on the highway that has been in a depressed state for years. We seem to be recovering from the devastating events of 9/11, and with a little extra push that can come from these extra added funds, I think we can see some very good years ahead. And believe me, we can really use it. Thanks for your time and consideration.
You bet, Alan. Thanks for calling in tonight from Glen Allen. Any questions of Mr. LeMaster? Alan, I can tell you that there's been a contingent in town all week, and I really don't think they're going to leave until we do something about the funding. So,
well, I appreciate that, and if you think they're planning to leave and you haven't done something about it, give me a call. I'll come down and join them.
Well, there's this one fellow by the name of Brent Carlson that just won't leave you alone, won't stay out of your office, and so they have brought some good information to us, and I didn't, and I'm somewhat embarrassed to say this, but because I voted for the rental car tax, but I didn't remember nor realize that part of that there was some. Inclination on behalf of the legislature to try to funnel that money towards tourism marketing. So we understand that. So that's a piece that's been added to the puzzle as we've worked through this. So we'll work on that. And your message has certainly not been lost on the legislature for the last few days.
I appreciate that, and you can take Brett Carlson's word to the bank. I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's tough to do sometimes, but we can do it.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Anybody else on the teleconference network? Brett, did you want to testify tonight?
I would at some point in time.
Okay. Well, just when we finish teleconference, we'll have you come forward.
Talking to important people first.
Still in, let's see, Glen Allen. Still in Glen Allen, we're going to ask John Downs to join us. John. Good evening. Thanks for coming and providing testimony on the operating budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do appreciate the opportunity to testify here. One of the things I'd like to say and bring forward, this tourism budget, that's one of the few resources that the state of Alaska has that keeps recurring. And the smaller the budget, the less the road traffic, and our communities. I am the director of the Economic Development Council here in the Copper Valley, and I see a direct result in marketing monies and the seasonal shift and the downturn we've had in the last few years. And this is an opportunity to step up to the plate and increase this tourism marketing that we have been so neglectful of over the last few years. And I would appreciate the Senate taking the time to research this and hopefully return that budget to $5 million, and we would appreciate it, and thank you for your time.
And, John, thanks to you. Any questions of Mr. Downs? John, thanks for coming out now.
Thank you, sir.
And helping us out with the budget, and we've heard your message loud and clear.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else on the teleconference network? All right, then. Brett, would you like to come forward and say a few things?
Good afternoon to you, and thank you, everybody. Senator Wilkins, Senator Stedman, and others have been very patient and listening to a guy from Coldfoot talk tourism this past week. And I am leaving on a plane tomorrow morning. Once you promised this evening that we'll be at the $5 million level come Thursday. But sincerely, I did want to thank those on the committee. There are a lot of people listening, even when they're not in the room, for what is certainly a dedication to being stewards of the state budget and ensuring that the state budget is at a level that we as Alaskans can afford. And both myself and our industry do appreciate that. I think one of the arguments that I've heard from Senate Finance, which I think has credence when it comes to the difficulty of moving the marketing budget from a $4 to $5 million level, is the challenge of, if we do it for you, you know, why do we do it for everybody? You know, how do we not do it for everybody else? And I guess the only thing I would leave you with, and maybe we don't solve it this year, but we'll hopefully we can get an early start on talking about it next year, is the state budget is important to a lot of Alaskans, but also the family budget is important to a lot of Alaskans. And for a lot of families and individuals throughout Alaska, it's the private sector and the private sector economy that allows them to meet their family budget and put food on the table and put a roof over their head. And I know this committee can't play the major role in the private sector in growing it that you can in controlling the growth of state government, but I think there is a role to play. Us as Alaskan small businesses know a few things. We do know that the visitor industry is good for Alaska, provides 46,000 jobs. And when we look at within ourselves to decide how to grow it, the only idea we can come up with, if you ask us how to grow the visitor industry in Alaska, we have the product already. We have to get the message out to the rest of the world. That's the only idea we have. So it's the only thing that state government can do to help us grow this industry and help us make sure that our family budgets are being met. And the challenge is without your help, we don't know how to do it. You know, obviously we've come down here in the past and said, hey, it's a role you can play in state government, give us the money, we'll spend it wisely. You know, then we were told, well, that's not good enough, we'll give you part of the money, but you have to match it. So that's kind of where we're at now. You provide us with $5 million, we leverage that with another $5 million, $10 million budget. And then we heard in recent years, well, it's not good enough to do that, you need to figure out a way to raise the money yourself, and then we'll reinvest it in you. And for the last year and a half now, we've been raising that money ourselves via a rental car tax, which is essentially independent traveler tax, and there's not a mechanism to reinvest it back into us, to our industry. So it's a challenge for us. We realize it's not going to be solved this session. An important interim step would be full funding to the $5 million level, so there's a true match. But we'd really like to engage in a discussion with, you know, seven people that we respect a ton on how we can work together going into next session to ensure that, you know, when we tax ourselves, try to take responsibility to raise the funds, how we can work together to bring more of those funds back to the visitor industry so we can look after the family budgets, which I'm sure you care about too. So thanks for taking the time to listen.
Thanks, Brett, for your testimony. I told Brett when he visited me that you know, this has been sort of an ongoing project with the Millennium Plan and the agreement to that, and then we did change the match requirement last year to 50-50, and I and others were surprised at just the $1 million grant, and so we're working on that, and we appreciate you being here and your bringing us information. As I told the other witness, I had forgotten or just wasn't aware of the intent language regarding the rental tax in the statute, so a rental car tax. So we appreciate it. So any questions of Brett? I should tell you that, let's see, hang on just 1 second. We have a couple of folks on the teleconference network, but I should tell you that Brett, about a month ago, he owns the Coldfoot camp up north of the Yukon River, and they went to open that up. And Brett, why don't you tell us, it was the front page of the paper, it's a great story. Why don't you just take a minute and tell us what happened when you and your friend went up to your...
Senator Wilkins is very good at embarrassing constituents, but thank you very much.
Quite a story.
So, yeah, we did. The quick story is I have a restaurant. Somehow, about a month and a half ago, a bear got in there. Alyeska saw a bear coming out of the window.
Grizzly bear.
Grizzly bear. So we kind of live in country that's, you know, a lot of woods people around there. So I live in Coldfoot, but I'm kind of an urban kid, I have to admit. So we called around, got a lot of good advice on what we should do, what type of gun we should bring, but nobody offered to go down with us. So anyway, make a long story short, went down, walked into a dark restaurant with me and two coworkers looking for a grizzly, and went around one corner. It was completely dark in there, so I had a flashlight on it. There was just an empty nest of t-shirts, Arctic Circle t-shirts. The bear ripped off the wall and made into a den. But we looked around the corner, no bear there. So now we were kind of on edge. We're going across the restaurant, looked down the hall, about to go into the kitchen. Luckily, one of the coworkers said, well, shine the flashlight there. And we shined it, and not too many feet away, there was two very big, large eyes staring at us. And it all happened very quickly. The good news is we got the jump on the bear. The bear ended up dead. And but it was a very, very large grizzly. I guess it was a record grizzly. So,
wow.
But it was kind of fun.
It's one of those Alaska stories that will show up in the Alaska magazine, you know, that you probably only want to do that once in your life, don't you?
Just once.
Yeah, just once.
But thank you all for your time.
You can check that off of your card. Senator Bundy?
Just a question. I'm sorry I wasn't here earlier. I had another commitment. But is that the truck stop at Coldfoot that Mackey used to have? Is that the restaurant?
It is. Yeah. Yeah, good memory. Yeah, I actually heard you yesterday saying you'd been up that road 16 times?
16 times.
Next time you come up, introduce yourself, and I'll cook you a special burger.
I've had Coldfoot hamburgers before.
I forgot to have you do this at the beginning. Just introduce yourself for the voice record.
It's Brett Carlson with Coldfoot Camp, which is in Coldfoot, Alaska. Thanks again for all you do, and if you can help out just a little bit on Thursday, getting us closer to that number for house conference, it'd be...
Yeah, thanks much, Brett, for being
Thank
here.
You. Yep,
have a safe trip home.
Brett, I had a...
We've been joined by...
A 69 pickup that made it almost round trip. The oldest pickup there to make the world be, people told me. And it quit at Coldfoot.
When's the last year you were up there?
It's been 14 years now.
Okay, we're going to see you next summer.
I hope so.
Thanks.
See you, Brett. As I said, we've been joined by Senator Bundy. Welcome. It's now 5:30, and we're going to roll to Kenai, Kodiak, and Dillingham. And we have some folks from Kenai and Kodiak that have joined us. For the public's knowledge, we have a binder, a clipboard for public testimony, either written or faxed to our faxes here, 465-4714. We'll get you into the record if you'd like to fax your testimony to us. So now at 5:30, let's go to Kenai, Kodiak, and Dillingham. And let's go first to Kodiak. We have Pam Foreman and Dale Fox. So let's ask Pam to come forward. And Pam, good evening. Your testimony on House Bill 67, please.
Good evening, Senator. Senator Green, Senator Wilkin, and members of the committee, my name is Pam Foreman. I'm the Executive Director of Kodiak Island Convention and Visitors Bureau. I wanted to thank you for allowing us to comment on the budget before you. I'm asking you to restore the tourism marketing funding to the $5 million level that the governor and the House established in their budget. The tourism industry is committed to matching that $5 million for marketing, as you heard Brett speak just before me. The Kodiak Island Convention and Visitors Bureau represents a little over 200 businesses in the Kodiak Island borough. The vast majority of these businesses are small, with fewer than 5 employees. All of these businesses depend directly or indirectly on the destination marketing efforts of the Visitors Bureau. In turn, the Kodiak Island Convention and Visitors Bureau depends on the broader marketing efforts of the Alaska Travel Industry Association. By fully funding tourism marketing on a statewide level, you are helping Kodiak's economy diversify and helping the tourism businesses in Kodiak grow. Thank you for your time, and I welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you, Pam. Any questions for Ms. Foreman? Thanks for coming out tonight in Kodiak, Pam. And let's stay in Kodiak and ask Dale Fox to join us. Good evening, Dale.
Hi, this is Dale Fox, and I'm the Executive Director for CHAR, Cabaret Hotel Restaurant and Retailers Association. I'm obviously in favor of promoting our great state and restoring the $5 million. It's critical that we get our message out to the public and ask them to come to Alaska to stop, stay, and spend. But what I'd like to do also is direct your attention to the segment of the budget which funds the Alaska Visitor Statistics Program. This is a very important piece of research, and it's a pro-business piece of legislation. And let me explain what the Alaska Visitor Statistics Program does in short. It provides information on where our visitors come from, how much they spend, what they like, what they don't like, what they do while they're here. It provides a wealth of information that is valuable in several different arenas. In one arena, it helps us refine the marketing program for Alaska to better target our message and get the best of value for the dollars the state legislature invests. But also, it's very critical from the private sector standpoint. When a business, prospective business in the travel industry goes to a bank and asks for a loan, they need research that validates their concept and shows the expenditure levels and the visitation levels to justify that project. So the support of this research not only helps us refine our message and make for a better marketing program, but it helps hundreds of small businesses all across the state take their ideas and their dreams and make them into reality and produce more jobs for Alaskans. Thank you very much. I'm glad to take any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Dale. Questions of Mr. Fox? Thanks for coming out tonight and helping us, Dale and Pam in Kodiak. Anyone else in Kodiak?
Okay. No, that's it.
Okay, we'll come back if someone arrives. Let's go to Kenai, and we have Tony Lewis and Maya Rinkin. Tony, good evening. If you would, your testimony on the operating budget, please.
Good evening, and thank you for taking our testimony. My name is Tony Lewis, and I live in Kenai. I represent the Kaleidoscope Charter School. It's a small charter school here in Kenai that focuses on the arts and sciences. And I'm here today to ask for you to include in your budget a $250,000 grant for small charter schools. That's charter schools under 150, like the House already has in its operating budget. As you may know, charter schools are an important part of education in Alaska. They offer choice to parents to do things a little bit differently and to educate their kids the way they want to. Unfortunately, the way that the state funds charter schools, it severely penalizes charter schools that are under 150 students. As a result, it kind of pushes these small charter schools to grow at a rate that really isn't healthy for them. And also, it limits the kinds of communities that charter schools can exist in. You pretty much have to be in one of Alaska's large communities in order to have a charter school because of that, because of the way it's funded. So including that $250,000 for these small charter schools really allows parents to have more choice and allows these charter schools to be successful. So thank you very much.
Yeah, Tony. Any questions of Mr. Lewis? Thank you, sir, for being out tonight and helping us. Let's stay in Kenai and speak with Maya Rinkin. Hi, Maya.
Good evening, Senator Wilkin and Senator Green and Senate Finance Committee. My name is Maya Rinkin. I'm the Executive Director of the Kenai Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I am also here to talk about the tourism marketing. While I'm sure you would all find it beneficial to return to the $5 million level for tourism marketing just to get Brett out of town, there are other reasons for state funding to be matched. For the state funding, it's matched by the tourism industry, including small destination marketing organizations such as the Kenai Convention and Visitors Bureau. This funding allows us to leverage our small marketing budget, which comes from our membership dues, and allows us to access marketing opportunities we wouldn't be able to do on our own. Tourism is an important industry to Alaska, the Kenai Peninsula, and the city of Kenai, and restoration of funding to the $5 million level will allow us to continue growing the industry. Not only within our community, but within the state. Thank you.
Thanks, Maya, for coming out. Any questions, Ms. Rinkin? Okay. Thanks, folks in Kenai, for helping us tonight. Anybody else on the teleconference network? Okay. I want to welcome Senator Green to the table. We will stand in stand at ease until we have another person to testify. We're at ease. At 10 minutes to 6, we've been joined on the teleconference network for public testimony on the operating budget by Jackie Steckel. Jackie is in Kenai. Good evening, Jackie. Your testimony, please.
Oh, thank you for taking my testimony. I'm principal of a new charter school in Kenai. It's called Kaleidoscope School of Arts and Sciences. And this is our first year operating. And I'm here to encourage the Senate Finance Committee to add $250,000 to next year's budget for charter school grants, smaller schools that are under 150. This is our first year of operation, and because we just have 88 students, our funding formula is put in with our largest school, Skyview High School. And we will be funded with Skyview High School until we reach 150 students, which will be hopefully several years down the road. Until then, the grant funding would provide a supplement to the percentage of funding that we get from the state per pupil. Instead of getting 100%, we get right about 84% of what we would get as a charter school over 100.
Is that it, Jackie?
I think that's it, unless someone has questions.
No, thank you. And Tony Lewis was with us earlier on the same subject and from the same Kaleidoscope School. Any questions, Ms. Steckel? Thanks, Jackie, for coming out in Kenai tonight and helping us out.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Our pleasure. Anyone else on Teleconference Network? Okay, we'll stand at ease and look for another person to come forward. We're at ease.